Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey, howdy, folks.
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
Still here.
What, on iTunes or Spotify? What are you talking about? We're still here?
Yeah, we're not going anywhere. Nah. We're not going, you know, we're like in The Wolf of Wall Street.
I'm not leaving.
I'm not fucking leaving.
Do it again.
I'm not fucking leaving.
Do
you gotta go? Whoa!
Whoa! Do Matthew McConaughey in that?
Hi, I'm Matthew McConaughey.
That's not bad.
Hi. Coming to you live from Mexico City.
Hi, I'm Matthew McConaughey.
Coming. That was awful.
Okay, here we go.
No.
Okay, here we go. I'm gonna do it. All right. You know, when I was growing, Matthew.
All right.
Hey, there was some kind of people that came down. That's not iconic. It doesn't really work. Hey, all you private parties. Welcome to another episode of Private Parts. Hope you're all swell and having a good day. Enjoyed the episode today. It was great.
It was great, yeah. He's a great character, and I think he's probably going to have a great podcast.
Should we say who it is? Because we haven't actually said who's coming on.
All right, I'll intro him.
Okay, you intro him.
Well, he was born in 1990, July the 7th. His two middle names are William and George. He started off his career playing for the Eastbourne Sharks at the age of 11, the tender age of 11. He then moved on to Hayward Heath at RFC in Sussex and went on to gain 72 England caps, as well as two caps for the British Lions. Came second in the Rugby World Cup 2019. He was in the England squad. Famously, one of the least professional loose head props in the sport.
Who is it?
Ladies and gentlemen, Harlequins, Joe Marler.
Harlequins, Joe Marler.
Harlequins is.
Just shouting.
Harlequin. I should say Harlequin.
Harlequin.
Joe Marler.
Yeah, we had Joe on the podcast. Complete legend, actually. And he came on, yeah. We chatted to him, had loads of fun, didn't we, buddy boy?
Yeah, he thinks the toughest guy in rugby is, who did he say?
Possibly me, actually.
East.
Nick Easton. East. Was it Nick East?
East, yeah.
Well, that's all in the podcast, so you can listen to it all. And also, we hope you had a great Christmas.
Is that after Christmas?
Yeah, this is obviously after Christmas.
Is this a New Year's app?
It might actually be, hang on a second. 31st. This will be the first. This is the 1st of January. This is the first.
Really?
This is the first day of the new year,
2021.
So welcome everybody to 2021. We should say, hey, hopefully, if last year was not a good year, hopefully you had a great New Year's. Maybe you're hungover today. Maybe you're not. Maybe you're with family and friends. Maybe you're not. But if you, hey, we're your friend. We're right here to wish you into the new year, 2021.
We're always here for you.
Happy New Year, everybody. Happy 2021.
Yeah. Happy New Year.
And what a way to kick off the year, as always. A podcast has been running for a long time now. We have our lovely private potters with Joe Marler. So
he's 18 stone, 13 pounds. 120 kilos.
120 kilos, yeah, he's a big boy.
And he's my height.
Yeah, 6 foot. Happy New Year. Happy 2021. Hopefully this will cheer you up or cheer you down, whatever you want. Just maybe. Just hopefully it makes you feel
great. No, hopefully it'll hit the spot.
Hopefully this kicks off your year with a real bang.
Ladies and gentlemen, Joe William George Marler.
So, Joe.
So, Jeremy.
So before we kick things off, turns out you've copied us.
Why?
Gone and got yourself a podcast.
Oh, I see what you're doing here.
Yeah.
Ah,
well,
good.
I'm just letting you get it in early. Letting everyone know. Just letting everyone know straight away that you copied us and you've got yourself a...
Wait, I saw someone else copied us as well.
Yeah, a few people have copied us recently getting podcasts. But
are
Joe
you
Marler...
You guys like the frontiers, the pioneers.
Pioneers,
the,
yes, it has been said.
The clown and tears.
We're like the Shackletons of the podcasting world. That's what they say. We're the explorers.
Who the fuck are the Shackletons?
Even Ricky Gervais copied us, but he just covered it up by going and doing it before.
Oh, he invented a time machine and fucked off back 10 years, did he? And went, I'm going to copy these pair of prats.
It's quite cunning, really.
Well,
he covered it up.
I applaud the man. He's really, and you guys are actually the inventors of it all. What were you talking about? I'm just concerned that you've still got this ice background on your screen, Francis.
Yeah, I know. It's just,
is that a police car at yours, Francis, as well?
Yes.
It's like in your house. What is going on? There's a police car
Well, it's just the windows are very big.
Oh, He's in an ice cave that's being surrounded by police at the minute.
Yeah, it's the only place I can hide.
They've come to arrest Wim Hof, have they?
Hey, Joe. So listen. So I'm actually intrigued. So you've started your own podcast.
I have sort of started. I didn't start it. Tom Fordyce started it, and this guy called Steve Jones, who's the producer, and they set up this podcast company, and they were like, hey Joe. I was like, yeah. They're like, do you want to do a podcast? I was like, yeah. What's the format? They were like, you just talk to people. And I was like, that hasn't really sold it to me, if I'm honest.
That hasn't been done before either.
It doesn't sound overly original, but you know what the heck, I'll do it, because I'm getting really old and slow at rugby. So I might say, wow, you're out of the ice cave into a 19th century woman's bedroom.
Woman's?
Is that a maroon shawl? What's that on there?
Hey, yeah, what is that? Where are you, Francis?
Just in my room.
Oh, that's a lovely piece of furniture as well. What is that?
It looks lovely.
That's Art Deco.
Wait, hang on, Joe. We have to understand. So.
Oh, yes, I haven't sold it very well.
It's the BBC, I assume. They basically said, we want to give you a podcast. And
No. If you know anything about me, which I expect you not to know, but I'm the opposite of what the BBC would be looking for. So it was actually two blokes that left the BBC to set up a podcast. And no, all jokes aside, it's been great fun meeting loads of random people, like prison governors. I met Tim Peake, the astronaut.
Oh, wow. So is there any criteria for who you speak to on your podcast, or is it just sort of broad?
Whoever says yes is kind of the...
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of our standard as well.
But lots of people say no, so it's not really... Yeah.
Actually, no offence, Joe. You're not on here just because you said yes.
You're really... And I'm not entirely sure I said yes. I'm pretty sure someone else said yes on my behalf. Which really fucks me off.
My favourite guest is when someone else says yes for them and then they have to come on. That's my favourite.
And so they're not really sure what it's about or, you know.
So Joe Marler, you're my favourite guest because someone else said yes for you, which I just love.
Yeah, and I'm almost certain that I told that other person to say no, but they obviously live in opposite land and said yes. But yes. I'm here now, and I like the show. I like talking to random people, and I'm intrigued to talk to you guys.
Do you find it easy interviewing people when you haven't met them though, right? It's like a weird situation. How do you go into it? How do you start chatting someone you've never met?
Early doors, I went for the vibe of pushing the barriers, the sort of awkward environment as far as I could, because I often feel that the more awkward you can make someone, the more real they become.
Yeah.
Now that sounds. I know. Are you with
That's
me on this?
That's really true. Yeah, I like that.
Are you both seriously agreeing?
Yeah, I actually am agreeing with that.
Because if you know someone's, if you push their boundaries, then you know early doors whether you can bring it back what you can and can't say with them.
Hang on. So sorry. So what you do is at the beginning, your technique is at the beginning to make them feel really fucking awkward. So then you understand what the boundaries are. So you then go, you push the boundaries first and then draw it back. Go, oh yeah, I can't say that.
If I make them feel incredibly awkward at the start, and they stick around, then I know, right, we're going to get something out of this. However, it's like a 3 in 10 that happens. It's not great odds, but I actually enjoy it more for the other people in the room or the other people that are listening that are squirming at it.
Yeah, they're the audience.
Yeah, they're the audience. Squirming. And I do it to my wife all the time in just around the shops or just introducing people, and she's like, fucking please don't do this, please stop, just stop. And I'm, I really enjoy this.
I really enjoy. But what is it about making people, because actually
funny.
it is funny, but also really, someone said to me that actually it's true, when you push someone's boundaries, that's when you get to know someone. Also when someone's angry or emotional, you see their true self. If you push someone's buttons, then you see someone's true self as well, because they can't hide or disguise anger.
No, yeah, you're right. I think it started off as a bit of fun, because like Francis just said, it's funny. So see how people react in awkward situations can be really quite funny and uncomfortable. But then it sort of developed into, well, breaking down those barriers often involves being quite awkward, often involves asking questions that you don't usually ask, or do you know what I mean? So it's a little bit...
Yeah.
Well, it also builds tension and then relieves it when you kind of realise that it's just, you know, it's not serious, right?
Yeah, definitely. So,
but also, weirdly, right, if you have that ability that you do, Joe, where you can...
Have you teed this up?
What do you mean?
Well, my phone's going, it's the Mamba.
What is it? What?
It's Hugo.
It's Monye. I haven't teed this up. Get him on. What? Get him on.
What do you want?
Monye.
Mamba, what do you want?
Joe?
What's happened, mate?
Nothing, though. You alright?
Yeah, you okay?
Yeah, I'm good.
Hugo.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm just... Is this a wind-up?
No, I swear to God it's not. I swear to God.
You're actually on candy camera.
Gonna have to hang up on him. Are you sure this... Have you not told him this?
Swear to God.
He never rings me. He never rings me.
That is so weird. To all the listeners who don't know this, I did basically for the England World Cup, Hugo and I went to Japan to like film different things and stuff like that. And we filmed a series for O2. And obviously, Joe, you were doing in the World Cup at the time. And then Hugo's just running you while you're doing the podcast with
us. I thought that's just because you're pals. Are you pals? Pals?
Yeah, we are buddies. But I swear to God, I have not set that up. That's hilarious.
I'm concerned that it's an emergency or a wind-up and I just need to take it. I'm sorry, I'm just having a brief second. Mams, you okay?
I'm good, mate. You're all right.
Yeah, what's up?
I was just touching base, really.
Nah, there's something going on here.
No, I swear to God there's not. I swear to God.
Hang on. Who's that?
This is a fucking setup. I'm not
it's
having
not
this.
It's not a setup.
This is exactly why I don't say yes to things and other people say yes on my behalf. And I fucking hate it because I don't trust anyone. I don't trust anyone and this has not helped my trust issues.
Mate, are you doing a podcast with Judge Rinder?
Ha 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 ha
Hey, honey.
How are you, my lover?
Yeah, I love that we're doing a podcast with Joe that has now become a podcast with you through his phone.
But he has a habit of that. He just likes making it all about him. Do you know what I mean? He's like, he's such a drama queen. Like, whenever I played with him, honestly, mate, the amount of times I've had to put my arm around his shoulder and be like, look, mate, stop making it about you. It's about the team. Just relax, you know. Like, and he's still carried it on in this media career he's got going now.
The last 10 seconds that came out of your mouth is total bollocks, by the way. But
I can't hear you anymore. Can't hear you anymore.
It's interesting that you have said that I'm trying to make it about me, because I'm now chatting to two people who I feel I've helped. Like Joe, I helped you in your early days. And Jamie, ask him. He was brilliant on Strictly, but it all started in Tokyo when I beat him at a dancing competition in Tokyo, I think it was.
I beat you at the dancing competition.
You're welcome.
I don't know what's going on anymore because, I don't know, I'm trying to talk to these guys who apparently invented,
people at once.
They invented podcasting, and now I'm talking to you, which we haven't spoken in months. So it makes me worried that something's either going on with you or...
I swear on my life, this is genuine a coincidence.
Right, okay, cool. Can we do it another time, or do you want them to hear it?
No, it's probably not needed for broadcast.
Probably not. He doesn't want to broadcast it.
I'll call you later. Who are you chatting to?
Jamie Lang from Made in Chelsea and Francis Boule. I think I've said it right.
That's
who's he's a diamond heir or something. And his net worth is about 10 mil. He's spent a lot of his life back and forth in France and USA.
Hey, he's done his research.
He's done his research.
And, they both seem like real nice guys, which actually wasn't going to be my, like, thing.
Surprising.
I was worried that wasn't going to be the case because you know what I'm like, mate. You know what I'm like when we used to go out in Southwest London and we'd end up in Chelsea or Kensington and I'm like, what the fuck are we doing here? The Fez Club? What was the other place?
Mate, I didn't go to Fez Club, behave, mate. I tell you what, Southwest London, the streets of Fulham were like way out of your comfort zone. You love the Six Bells, an old school country pub, like anywhere. Honestly, you've got
no. Nice, what was it, Mahiki's, where they bring all those like sparklers and stuff at me? Not having it.
I hate all that as well, to be fair, but there we are.
Not having it. Look, I'll chat to you later, mate. I've got to go.
Yeah, enjoy.
Love you, guys.
See you, Mamba. Love you. Buddy. They said bye. So that's not a wind up. We'll move
that's
swiftly on.
That's not a wind
from
up. That was a complete coincidence.
Really awkward, actually. See, it's made it like awkward now, isn't it?
Nothing.
Which
nothing
I love.
Nothing makes it awkward. See, it's impossible. The only time there's ever been an awkward podcast was when we had a guest on, but we can't say his name.
Did it air?
Yeah, it did air. It did air.
So why and can't you say his name?
Because I don't know. Do you know what, Joe? I actually don't know why I can't say his name, because I could, but I feel bad about saying his name.
I don't understand the concept. Why can't you say the name?
If you don't, this is great.
Okay, is it because you can't pronounce his name?
No, I can say his name, but I don't want to say his name because
Jamie's afraid of him.
I'm not afraid of
what
him.
What will he do to you, though? Like, what could someone possibly do to you?
I don't know. What could they do to me?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, no, I asked you.
Who, Joe, if you don't like someone, do you tell them that you don't like them or do you hold it back?
More often than not, I'll have to either tell them with my voice or with my...
distance.
Distance or my or my energy that I try and channel towards them or channel away from them. Are you with me?
That sounds like magic. You're doing magic.
I'm actually really good at magic.
What I find interesting there, right, is that your job is in a team environment, right? And you've played rugby since you were, you know, a baby. What happens if someone comes into the team that you don't like or you don't get on with? How does that work? In a team environment, what happens?
Like, how do you think Jamie would get on if he joined the team?
Mate, I would be absolutely fine. I'd be sweet.
I think at Quinn's, the Harlequins, I think you'd probably fit in pretty well.
I'd be fine.
Yeah, you would. You know, you've got, there's a lot of boys at the club that got similar jib cuts. What's it called? Similar cuts to their
hair
jib.
Transplant.
Is it necessary?
Is that what they call them? A jib cut?
You're mates with Dece, aren't you? DC, you get on with Danny, don't you?
Yeah, I know Danny. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like you say it so like, yeah, we're besties.
Talking about the person who goes to Mahiki. Where's that place where they do the sparklers? That's at Mahiki. What's the other place that you went to? The Eight Bells?
Six Bells. No, the Six Bells is down near my local. So I actually live, like you spoke, Francis, you mentioned about distancing yourself from if you don't like someone. I live 71 miles away from anyone that I play rugby with.
Is that deliberate?
Well, I'm just saying that you said that one of the techniques is to distance yourself.
That's
true.
Do you live in the middle of nowhere?
Yeah, I live in the middle of nowhere. It's nice.
What's your address?
It's the Six Bells, Chidding Line.
Fitting lie.
Puddingville.
Pudding lie.
Pudding town.
How come you decided? Do you not like cities? Is that what it is?
No, I love cities. I just don't like living in them. I lived in London or on the outskirts for 3 or 4 years when I first started out at the club, but it's just too much going on, mate. There's too much going on. And to be quite frank, I can get as much joy out of going to the Six Bells than going to Mahiki with a fucking sparkler in my face. Like, the danger of that is just bad. It's bad.
Do you think it's down to the potential distractions living in a city as well, that you could... Are you one to...
Jamie, that's what you call them. We know what he's referring to, Joe. I think.
are you a person? Do you think that because you're a sportsman, and also we just have to give you a big shout out because you've had, you know, we're going to talk about this later, but you've had 66 international caps.
Your research is appalling.
Well, how many is it?
It's 72.
Okay, well,
I mean, I earn about, I'd say, I'd give myself 8 or 9. And the rest of them was either stolen or given to me out of injury crisis. But you take every single one that you can. Honestly, you make the most of them. But at least have a little bit of respect and do your research properly. I knew that Francis lived between France and USA. Christ, do you know what I mean?
That's not even right.
What do you mean that's not right? That is right. You went to Radley School. I don't even know where the fuck Radley is. Come on.
So you did 72 caps.
Thanks.
Which is a shitload of caps.
Thanks.
That's a hell of a lot of caps. But what I say, because you're a sportsman, do you because it's quite easy to be distracted, right, as a sportsman, any sportsman. And especially if you live in a city because you have, you know, you're earning salary, you can go out, all these different things, you're known, all that kind of stuff. And I think the most important thing as a sportsman is you've got to keep your head in the game, right?
Keep a low profile.
Well, it's not even low profile. It's just, you know, you look at the best players and the best sportsmen, they're the ones who are completely concentrated. And if there's so many distractions around, perhaps you don't play to your best ability.
What well, did living in London help Danny Cipriani's career, right? I mean...
He didn't live in...
Didn't he?
What is that? That's left field for you, Francis.
Has he just Googled rugby players?
Yeah.
in answer, if I'm to provide a serious answer to your question, fortunately, I was blessed with being the way I look. So I'm a very niche market. So if you're talking about distractions flocking round me, there wasn't any. I get your point because I've played with a load of players that have come to London that haven't been from London or been from a city. They've been paid a shit ton of money and they've got lost in the term we use is they got lost in London. London has him now. You remember that hangover? Yeah. You know, Bangkok has him now. Well, London can do that to players who've got bags of potential, but, you know, they see the city life. They're like, I want to fishbowl at where else do you go? You lot go
Bougies.
I want a fishbowl with sparklers at Bougies, and I want to pay at least £1,000 just to show off and hopefully go home with someone because of it. You know what I mean? It's like
it's so true, mate. Yeah. Listen, it is so true, but I you know, Francis, we can both, and don't pretend, you know, we were probably victim to that, not paying thousands of pounds, but being idiots and thinking that going to nightclubs was a good idea until you get to a certain age and then you realise that what the hell have you been doing and wasting all your time and money for so long just standing around a bucket of ice in a club, right? But I think a lot of people that happen to, and it's bad that you must see, like you said, so many potential freaking amazing players who don't make it because
Bougies.
They're just Bougies. That's what Bougies does to you. I don't want to bag Bougies too much. I don't know what Bougies is.
Bougies
it sounds
shut
class.
Down.
Oh, is it?
All right, Jamie, you're the expert.
Fuck you, Bougies. It happens, but then to me that just means that they weren't that bothered about making it or making rugby or achieving what they wanted to achieve in rugby. But I'm not knocking that. If that's everyone's got a choice, there is always a choice, and whatever makes you happy, whatever floats your boat. And there's loads of boys that didn't fulfill their potential but had a fucking great time. And they look back on it, and they've got a great career going for them now. They look back on it and go, yeah, I could have gone on and got 10, 20, 30 England caps. I could have done this, I could have done... But I still had a fucking great time, so fair play to them.
But not everyone... Like, I would assume, right, everyone has the same dream, right, when you go and start playing a sport, especially rugby, and the same dream is to play for England. That's what you want to do, right? Or is it not the case?
I don't know, Harlequins.
the mighty Quins. I can't really answer for everyone else. Are you asking me to answer on behalf of every rugby player?
Yeah,
rugby playing community.
I want you to answer for everyone.
On behalf of the rugby community in England, I haven't got a fucking clue what all their dreams are. My dream was to
well,
be.
You should. You should. Know
I should. Yeah. My dream was to just. It was never really a dream, to be honest. It was just something that sort of fell in my lap and I got the opportunity to do it. And I've lived as an imposter in this sport for the last 12 years and it's been fucking brilliant.
Do you feel imposter syndrome?
You haven't got imposter syndrome, Joe. That no ways.
That's a legit syndrome, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is a legit syndrome. You don't have imposter syndrome. There's no ways.
Can you describe the syndrome and I'll tell you
well,
whether I've got it or not?
You feel like an imposter. You feel like you've... been Google given undue responsibility or opportunity, and you don't feel like you belong in the environment you exist in.
So is it like being a vicar who's an atheist?
Yeah, or it's like being asked to be or be given the role of being a vicar, even though you're an atheist.
Here we go, imposter syndrome. Imposter syndrome, also known as imposter phenomenon. phenomenon.
Can you do that again?
Imposter phenomenon.
Perfect.
Is that
There's
right?
There's no M at the end of it. Phenomenon.
It's phenomenon.
Phenomenon.
How would you pronounce this before we move on to phenomenon?
Mauam.
How do you know what I'm about to say?
Well, because you held it. I thought you held up a Mauam.
Oh, fucking hell. You've ruined the illusion. Would you say Mauam?
Mauam. Yeah,
what would you say?
Someone the other day, I said, oh, I'll get you some Mauams. They were like, yeah, I'd love some Moms. I was like, no. It's not that in the slightest. That's not even close. It's Mauam.
Wait, just quickly, when I said Mauam, were you like, what the fuck? How does he know that I've...
Yeah, I went, how do you know? But then I forgot we're on screen, not on a podcast. So it's really fucked me off. So you can see where I'm at now. You can see the faces I'm doing.
Yeah, wait, what does that sticker say on your wall?
That says... That says Jasper's room.
Jasper's room. Yeah. Ah, Jasper.
So my real name isn't Joe. My real name's Jasper. And no, I'm really not,
that's
into
your boys' room.
Ninjago Lego
figurines. They Lego?
Yeah.
Wait, hang on. Going back to imposter syndrome. So imposter syndrome is a psychological pattern in which an individual doubts their skills, talents, or accomplishments and has a persistent internalized fear of being exposed as a fraud.
Oh, fucking hell, yeah, you've nailed it. Yeah, that is spot on.
He didn't write that definition.
Did you not write that? Have you read that from somewhere?
Yeah, I read it from Google.
I can see you, I should know that, yeah.
Wait, but you definitely don't have that because, mate, you were, you know, England under 18...
72 caps.
You were England under 18 captain as well.
Francis has done his research. See, you know, he's put some effort into this episode.
Because it matters, you know, Jamie.
Yeah, it really, really matters.
Okay, fine. Where did Joe first play rugby then, Francis? Go on.
He played at Hayward Heath RFC.
He's so close. That's not bad for him.
Eastbourne.
He's on his laptop. This is bullshit.
Eastbourne RFC.
This is complete horseshit. I don't know even know why I'm... what am I doing? Days, do you need me to come down? Days, Nietzsche... we're just wrapping it up. Yeah, sorry, gotta go now. Been great, lads. All the best.
Yeah, you can't go. You're not allowed to go. But what we can do, right, just to give
Eastbourne
a little break.
Sharks, maybe?
Yeah, it was, Francis. You've nailed it. I like it.
Right, what we can do just now is, Francis, why don't we have a little break? Why don't we have the question of the week?
Oh, yeah. What was the worst year in history?
What? Surely that is subjective.
No, it's as voted by historians.
Just historians got to vote.
Yeah, because not everyone is all right. I'll give you a hint. It's quite long ago.
So you're going to provide some sort of answer to this after the break, are you?
Yeah, you got to say which year you think it was.
Yeah, but there's no right answer. There's no wrong answer.
Which year was the worst for the human race?
I'm not. This is fucking bullshit. I'm not. I've just answered you. It is completely subjective. Your worst year in your history is different to my worst year.
Okay,
it's different to Paul Simon's worst year. Imagine the shit he's gone through.
Joe, you have to answer the question.
You got to give an answer.
You have to give an answer to the rules of the podcast.
Human in human history.
Yes,
human
history. Yeah. Human history,
Has the human race...
Yeah, it's existed for...
Yeah, but has it ever been wiped out before?
Has the human race...
All the humans that were around... Were there humans with dinosaurs?
We arrived at where we are today. You know, we existed alongside dinosaurs in some shape or form. But you mean the humans have never been wiped out and then re-evolved?
Oh, okay.
What do you think it is, Joe?
I'm going to go with, when was that massive fire in London?
The Great Fire of London.
Yeah, the Great Fire.
1605.
Was it?
You think
so? That's a very, very London-centric view of...
I thought I was talking to London...
of the world.
Londonites, you're a pair of Londonites, aren't you? You rule
in Africa. Going, that was a terrible fire in London, wasn't it? Ruined my year. That
yeah, but there was obviously that provided that big big fire in London provided a massive smoke cloud across the world. So it would have, in Africa, it might have like shadowed it a little bit. And there might have been some ash. Remember that ash cloud in Greece? Fuck's sake. I gave you a stupid answer to your stupid question. I don't know what more you want. I gave my first answer at the start, right, okay. And then you insisted.
Is that your final answer?
He's locked it in. He's going for the Great Fire of London.
Okay. But you know what?
Yeah, the Great Fire in 1066.
That was the Battle of Hastings.
Thank you. 1-0. Too easy. Thank you. Too easy. Well, do you two get to answer this?
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, yeah, I know the answer.
I think it's going to be. I don't know. I mean, is it maybe it's quite recent?
Recent?
Yeah, is it? It's got to be. Is it maybe due to COVID?
So you think it was this year?
God, fucking hell!
Yeah, I'm gonna go for 2020.
This is bollocks. What is he on?
All right,
you're high. Are you high?
Hey, Joe, listen, we're gonna stop there for part one because we're going to be back in a second with part two.
There's two parts.
Yeah. You got a whole other bit to go, baby. Get ready for it. Strap yourself in.
And you will find out the worst year to be alive in history.
Yeah, you're going to love it. Don't worry about it. So we'll see you in part two.
Is it a pretend part or are you actually letting me go for a little bit?
No, it's a pretend part. So you basically just you say stop now and then we straight get back into it. So see everyone in part two.
Okay, bye then.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.